Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Results have been extremely positive for both workers and the companies. We have 26 well-being measures for more than 3,600 employees, every one of which registers improvement from baseline to the end of the trial. Nearly 60% of employees experience better work-family balance. Anxiety, sleep problems, fatigue, physical and mental health improve for 40% of workers. 69% of employees have lower burnout scores. Participants tell us that the new schedule is, quote, life-changing.
This is Dr. Juliet Shaw. She's a professor of economics and sociology at Boston College, talking about the results of a study into whether the four-day work week, the reduction of work hours in the United States to 32 hours by, you know, eliminating a day or shortening days or whatever you want to do, would be beneficial. And this is in a hearing about a month ago that Bernie Sanders was the chair of that got a little bit of attention at the time. But I thought it was a really fascinating discussion, and I've kind of been waiting on it to have a space in the schedule where we could really talk about it, and there never is one. There just never is one. So I'm making it today because I thought this was really kind of an important thing. And so her basic argument here, of course, is that, you know, when they try it, it's life-changing for people. It's good for people.
In our statistical modeling, we find that the larger the work time reduction, the greater the increase in well-being. Fewer sleep problems and less fatigue are one reason. But the second is that a majority of employees register an increase in their productivity over the trial.
Now, the one thing that in her commentary I was never able to discern is, did she mean an increase in productivity overall, as in a total aggregate output by the employee per week, or did she mean an increase in productivity per hour? Very different things, because if you reduce the amount of time that somebody works from 40 to 32, let's say, by cutting a day, okay, give them a three-day work weekend and a four-day work week, I would assume they're going to be happier. And you don't cut pay, right? Okay, you keep pay high. You just got a 25% pay raise, or 20%, depending on how you cut the numbers, okay? You got a pay raise, and you're working a few hours, or you got a pay hold, and you're working a few hours. Of course, you're going to be happier. And, of course, your productivity goes up. But and she says, and the more you cut, the happier they get. Well, yeah, I mean, at 1 hour a week making full pay, maximum happiness, and also really good productivity for an hour, right? Oh, yeah, I got to keep my job. I'll be really productive for an hour. So I want to know what the kind of the curve looks like, and I don't know the answer to that.
For employers, the most important number is 91%. That's the fraction of companies who have continued with the four-day week after at least one full year. In the U.S. and Canada, only two companies have gone back to a five-day schedule. Their performance metrics reveal why. Resignations fell 22%. Absenteeism declined 39%. Revenue increased an average of 30%. Some companies report that quality of service improves.
And hey, it could well be in some companies, in certain sectors of the economy, that might very much be true. And if that's true, then do it. You know, there's nothing holding a company back from trying this. Now, it might be that companies find that once they have cut hours for a year, that it's very hard to tell employees they're going to go back to the old way. So we're going to work extra hours and we're not going to get any more pay? Yeah, that's right. Why? You know, it's just out of disgruntlement they might leave. So does it mean that everybody's really happy with the end result, or does it mean they can't figure out a way to get back to normal after having done this for a year? I you know, again, I don't know. It could be that everything is better. Could be that work output and absenteeism is better. By the way, one of the problems that you have with turnover, and every business owner knows this, but we don't always talk about it, you know, outside of business environments. One of the problems is that if you can keep your employees really happy that saves you an enormous amount of productivity overall because you're not wasting time and money training new people who then are behind the curve in terms of their productivity in the business, right? So if you can keep your people for a long period of time, you don't have to waste money advertising, hiring, training, recruiting, all of that. And if you don't have to be retraining them, they're able to accumulate knowledge over time and be much more productive. So if that were true, that's good. And that, I mean, that is certainly a byproduct of workers being happy.
The U.S. adopts a four-day week, a 32-hour week. It is likely that hourly productivity will rise. That has been the experience of both workers and management in our trials. It is historically what scholars have concluded from past reductions in work time. And it accords with international comparisons. The countries with the highest levels of per-hour productivity are those with the shortest working hours.
Well, again, sure. Yeah, because, you know, hey, here's a job. Work 10 hours a week, make full-time pay. Super productive for 10 hours. You know, right? You can, the less you work, the more productive you can afford to be in that amount of time, or even 30 hours a week, or 20, or whatever the number might be. So what are the limits to this? Well, Dr. Liberty Vittert is a Washington University and Harvard MIT research statistician, and basically she was saying, yeah, it works over the short term for certain industries, but let me tell you about what happens eventually. We'll come back to this in a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
We are not seeing any accidents or major slowdowns on our roadways this morning. I-10 and I-110 are all looking good. Highway 90 is clear from Milton into Pace. Lillian, Jackson, Navy, and New Warrington are all accident-free. Starting 8 p.m. tonight and going until 4 a.m. this tomorrow morning, construction on I-10 and Davis will be causing lane closures, so please expect delays and drive with caution. If you see anything else on our roads,
you say I-10 and Davis?
I-10 and...
29.
29. My apologies. I-10 and 29 will be causing some delays, so drive with caution. If you see anything else, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620.
Very good. Yeah, that's going to... I mean, look, you know, we're in this for, like, the next 6 years. I-10 and 29 is going to be a hot mess, so good luck. Let's hope that it's not so bad. Anyway, back to this conversation about the 32-hour or the 30-hour or the 4-day or whatever you want to style it as, work week, where you're actually cutting back hours. Not the compacting idea, like you go to 410s. That's a different concept. What Bernie Sanders is telling you is that you want to, you know, actually cut hours, make people happy, because productivity has gone up so much in the last one lifetime of Bernie Sanders or Joe Biden that, you know, we haven't got our commensurate reward to the workers with the life of luxury that they've been promised. Anyway, Dr. Liberty Vittert on the other side of this issue from Washington University, Harvard, MIT research statistician.
Many of the news headlines touting these studies discuss the stress or happiness levels of workers who work less time. Inevitably, over the short term in these short pilot projects, it's not inconceivable to imagine that happiness levels increase. The question is, where does the pendulum end at no work? Statistical studies, long-term statistical studies of this, have shown us that happiness does not increase over time. It goes back to the same level.
Because you give somebody a day off a week, and eventually they come back to thinking, well, that's the norm, and they grumble about that. You know, you can get a temporary bump in happiness by giving somebody something that they want, and then they adjust to that, and then they're not happy because they don't have a, you know, 24-hour work week. And then they're unhappy because they don't have a 16-hour work week, right? I mean, you can eventually give and give and give, and you'll get a bump in happiness each time, but at some point, it kind of resets because people readjust, you know? Oh, man, if I can only get out of this apartment and get into a house. Oh, man, if I can only get out of a two-bedroom and get into a three-bedroom. Oh, man, if I can only have... You know, right? I mean, you know, that's kind of how it works. So continually paying off the laziness or the greed doesn't necessarily get you a long-term benefit.
For example, the study in France after mandatory government reduction of hours saw a return to the same level of happiness after 7 years. And if you want to see those same employees really stressed out, just see what happens when their employers lay them off to hire part-time workers instead or have to close their doors because they cannot make enough revenue.
Right. I mean, it's great for the ones who you keep, is maybe not so great for everybody else.
Another major flaw in these studies is the self-selection bias. For example, the companies that choose to participate in some of these studies, like the 4-Day Week Global Study, are companies whose work tend to be able to be adapted to a shorter work week already, who can remove, quote, wasted hours.
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing a lot of meetings and things like that, and you can get rid of the chaff, so to speak, in your schedule, that's one thing. But what if you're on a manufacturing line? It's not so easy to just shed a random meeting that you don't need anymore.
It is specifically only companies that are able to adapt to shorter work week that tend to participate, cutting out, as they say, extraneous meetings, coffee breaks, having more independent work, going to Zoom.
So why do you get the results of 91% continuing after your year, or of so much increased happiness and productivity in these companies where it works? The data that Dr. Juliet Shaw was giving you. Self-selection bias, because the kind of companies that can do this are the kind of companies that participate in the program, because they already have inefficiencies in their system and they're just eliminating those, and especially that they are the kind of business where this even makes sense.
However, over 70% of the U.S. job economy is people working with their hands. They don't necessarily have extraneous meetings or too many coffee breaks to cut out. So statistically, you can't apply this type of cutting of hours across the entire economy.
And the ultimate takeaway from all of this is, if it works, if it's a good idea, then companies can do it right now. They can do it. You can do it. It's, you know, right? You're allowed. So you don't need a federal law to try to impose this sort of social democratic, socialist light kind of concept onto these workplaces when it is available to them right now. And what will happen in those workplaces is employees will flock to them. And other companies will want to retain their employees, and so they will offer a similar benefit. And then eventually this wave of improvement will flood across the entire U.S. and we'll just have what Bernie Sanders wants to accomplish voluntarily. That's what free markets do. Unless what free markets do is say, I don't think that really works for us, and so we're not going to do it, but maybe it works for you, and that's great for you and wonderful. That's the problem with that kind of one-size-fits-all, impose it from the top down. 622 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about whether to get that next vehicle and trying to decide where to go, you know, I always say that Frontier Motors serves the Pensacola community, and you might think, well, in what way? Well, I'll give you an example, okay? It's a small example, but I think it's an interesting one. If you go get a, if you go buy a car at Frontier, they give you a Carfax, which tells you the vehicle service and repair history for that car to the degree it's been reported, and that's attached to the price sheet, which has a bottom line out-the-door price. That's the only thing you ever talk about. Okay, that's everything included at the bottom line. If you don't buy a car from them or don't look at a car from them, you look at, you know, some corner lot somewhere or somebody on Facebook Marketplace and they don't run you a Carfax, that's fine. Just call Frontier. Give them the VIN and they'll do it for you for free. Why would they help you buy a car from somebody else? I mean, they can. That's it. It's just, you know, trying to be good neighbors. Now, a Carfax won't necessarily tell you everything. I still recommend if you're buying a used vehicle, get a good inspection by a mechanic, a used vehicle inspection. It is worth the money. But a Carfax is a good start. It's better than nothing. And you can get one from Frontier for free for buying a car from somebody else. Why? Again, because they can. So when I say Frontier Motors have been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, I mean that.
Gulf Coast businesses are set to lose over $5 million this month. I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. It's the beginning of tax season, and scammers know the threat of an IRS audit gets people to pay. Know that the IRS will never initiate contact through email, and any email threatening an audit is just a scam. Businesses along the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
What's up?
I'm tired of feeling so bloated.
That used to be me. Then I got this.
Align Bloating Relief plus Food Digestion. A probiotic, right?
Yeah, it works naturally with your gut to help soothe occasional bloating and gas. Plus, it has vitamin B12 to aid digestion by helping convert food to cellular energy. Two benefits, one capsule.
Align Bloating Relief plus Food Digestion from the number one doctor-recommended probiotic brand. Learn more at AlignProbiotics.com.
Bands on the Beach is back. Grab a lawn chair or towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, Mass Confusion takes the stage, playing classic rock, Motown, smooth jazz, funk, country, and oldies, all in their own style. Grab a blanket or lawn chair, but don't bring any pets or glass, and get to Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion, thanks to the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Can you count, suckers?
Good morning, 625, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew Kay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and Jimmy has got our traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
This traffic report is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. We are not seeing any slowdowns or major accidents on our highways this morning. I-10, I-110 are all looking good, not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or in Carr City. Mobile Highway is clear through Beulah, and if you are coming into Pensacola from Pace or Milton, you are good to go. Starting 8 p.m. tonight and all the way to 6 a.m. tomorrow, construction on I-10 and Highway 29 will be causing lane closures, so expect delays and please drive with caution. Executive Landscaping, call us today for all of your commercial and premium landscaping needs. If you see anything else on the roads, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Yeah, that overnight lane closures on I-10 is going to be an interesting one because they're building retaining walls basically to block out the view and the problems from the construction as they're going to be working intensely in the bubble in between the two lanes and tearing down trees, which they've already been doing, and, you know, building the new expressway that's going to go right through the middle. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, today is Earth Day, the annual event to celebrate, well, the Earth.
Today's Earth Day, the theme is planet or plastic.
That's Monica Medina. She's the former Assistant Secretary of State for the Oceans and International Environment and Scientific Affairs at the State Department. And the first Earth Day was commemorated back in 1970. The Supreme Court hearing arguments in two big cases this week. The first involves a man from El Salvador who was denied a visa to be with his wife, who is an American citizen in the U.S. Eventually, he learned that he had been rejected because an official saw his tattoos and suspected a criminal background. The other case involves whether the National Labor Relations Board can order employers to rehire workers they say were fired without just cause.
And did you just say there's a case where somebody was identified as a potential criminal because of tattoos?
That is what it says.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting.
Looking
to
at
see
you, side-eyed, dear Jimmy.
And the House is the House says that TikTok's Chinese owner ByteDance is going to have to sell its stake in TikTok, or it could be banned in the U.S. That measure was overwhelmingly approved with a 360-58 vote over the weekend. That measure now moves to the Senate. TikTok is vowing to fight any ban or forced sale.
Yeah, part of the Ukraine-Taiwan-Israel aid deal, right? Part of the
yes.
$95 billion, and that went overwhelmingly. It's a 300-something to 111, I think, were the nays on that. But yeah, and you said in that particular slice of it, everybody's against it. Well, 50 still voted to defend TikTok, which I thought was interesting. David, you said it's Earth Day, and so the choice is between what again now? What is the choice on Earth Day? Or planet or plastic?
Planet or plastic, yeah. Planet.
Can I say one word to you? Just one word.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, sir, you.
Plastics.
I think we have our answer, so.
Well, we know what he's in favor of.
What more do we need? All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 628 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, man. You know, you might have heard that you have Shohei Ohtani passed up Hideki Matsui for the all-time lead in home runs by Japanese baseball players in America. But you may have missed, and if you did, oh, how sad, you may have missed the the craziness that happened in Nationals Park yesterday as the mascots, you know, the presidents were doing their race, and in their race, you know, that was fine until all of the other mascots from all of the other local teams showed up to basically tackle the mascots and harass them. I think I have this.
Watch out, Teddy's mascot!
Teddy goes down!
The Duke dog just took out him! The old presidents are all down! Teddy goes down!
The old presidents are all down!
It's a melee of creatures' friends. What are we going to do?
play.
We do. Mama's reach is to the streets just across the line. Screech got to take it. The winner is Screech.
Screech, the non-president, won the president's race for the seventh inning stretch.
Oh, man, how cool.
I love it. At least I think that's when they do it. I thought that was hilarious. Because when you first see the headline, I'm like, mascot brawl at the Washington Nationals game. What? And then I watched, I'm like, oh, that's fun. They all just came out and tackled him. And the first tackle was pretty vivid. You know, you're like, oh, man, I hope Teddy's okay. So, 6:30 here on News Radio 92.3. Some people are having fun. Oh, all your Cybertrucks are being recalled. No big deal. It's just that the pedal might break off and the accelerator might stick in the accelerating position. No worries. It's never actually happened yet. But they are recalling all 3,900.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Opening statements are today at the first ever criminal trial of a former president. Donald Trump's accused of illegally concealing hush money payments.
The New York Times is reporting that the first witness in the case will be former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker. He admitted to running a so-called catch and kill scheme to bury negative stories about Trump ahead of the 2016 election.
Fox's Brooks Singman. Israel's military intelligence chief resigns for not preventing the Hamas attacks October 7th.
He's the first senior Israeli figure to do so. More than 1,200 people were killed that day. Roughly 250 others were taken captive, sparking a seven-month-long war in Gaza. His resignation could set the stage for more of Israel's top security brass to step down.
Fox's Jackie Ibanez. Classes are remote today at Columbia University in New York because of pro-Palestinian protests at the start of the Passover Jewish holiday. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it is 52 and clear skies. Looks like an absolutely gorgeous morning out there. Escambia County officials say two people were taken to the hospital in critical condition after a crash on Sunday. This happened on Navy Boulevard. The Florida Highway Patrol says the two people were in a Chevy Tahoe that ran off the road, then hit a crosswalk sign and a fence. The vehicle then rolled. The two occupants were identified as a 32-year-old woman and a 41-year-old man, both from Pensacola. Right now, we don't have an update on their current condition. The 19th annual Charity 5K run was held at Booker T. Washington High School over the weekend. They were teaming with Channel 3 to raise money for the Communities Caring at Christmas campaign.
So this charity is really important to us at Washington because we're a Title I school and we, you know, see that kind of poverty and underprivileged nature prevalent in our school. And it's really important to us to, as we live in the midst of it, be able to give back to that.
That is Lindsay Lawrence, the school's SGA president. She says being younger, the kids at the school know the importance of children having presents to open on Christmas morning. It's the fourth year in a row the school's raised money for that particular program. Efforts by some conservatives, led by Georgia's Marjorie Taylor Greene in the U.S. House to remove House Speaker Mike Johnson, continue, but some Democrats speaking out against it. In an interview on Fox, Florida Congressman Jared Moskowitz said efforts to oust Johnson would only strengthen America's adversaries.
What Marjorie Taylor Greene and what Thomas Massie and what Paul Gosar are trying to accomplish by removing the Speaker of the House in this very moment after October 7th would only embolden China, it would only embolden Russia, it would only embolden Iran.
Greene filed a motion to vacate Johnson's speakership after he allowed a vote for foreign aid packages for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, which passed last week. House lawmakers are now on a one-week recess. Well, it's going to be 20 years in prison for a Pensacola woman who's charged in a fatal head-on crash. 20-year-old Sarah Hudson was given that sentence for a crash that killed two people in January of 2022. The Florida Highway Patrol says Hudson was speeding with a passenger in her vehicle when she crossed the center line and collided head-on with a pickup truck. Her passenger and the driver of that truck both died as a result of the crash. Troopers say Hudson was driving about 85 in a 55-mile-an-hour zone. She remains in the Escambia County Jail waiting to be extradited to a state prison. President Joe Biden will be visiting Tampa tomorrow to discuss abortion rights. No details on that trip have been released. A poll last week did show that Donald Trump is leading Biden by 8 points here in the state of Florida. But ABC News political analyst Dr. Susan McManus says she believes there's still a chance the state could be in play in November. And we've got some sad news out of the Gulfarium today. Winston the loggerhead turtle has passed away. He'd been with the care team there since August of last year after being attacked by a shark. But the care team says he was making progress and his recovery had a sudden decline and passed away. There's no word on the underlying cause of death for Winston the loggerhead turtle. It is 6:35 at News Radio, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Jimmy, what are you seeing?
We are not seeing any accidents or major slowdowns on our roadways this morning. I-10, I-110 are all looking good, not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or in Carr City. Mobile Highway is clear through Beulah, and Gulf Beach Highway not showing any delays. Starting 8 p.m. tonight, going into 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, there is construction on I-10 and Highway 29. That will be causing some lane closures, so expect delays, and please drive with caution. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will have beautiful sunny skies today with temperatures warming up near 73 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 51. We're going to be seeing the sunshine continue for your Tuesday, high near 74 degrees. Lows Tuesday night, 57. Warm up for Wednesday, sunny skies, high near 78. And Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 59. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now, we've got 52 degrees in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, 1 degree cooler, 51 in Milton. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. In honor of Earth Month, Realty Hop ranked the greenest U.S. cities for homebuyers. The results were calculated based on a few factors, including sustainability, environment, affordability, and more. Overall, the study found that most of the greenest cities are on the West Coast. Some top places are Seattle, Washington, San Francisco, California, and Sacramento, California. At number one, Portland, Oregon. Disneyland has begun replacing lampposts at the Southern California theme park as a precautionary measure after one of the posts fell and injured at least three people last year amid high winds. The entertainment giant said the park is replacing lampposts near the Jolly Holiday and Pirates of the Caribbean attraction. Futures are moderately higher. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 211, the NASDAQ lost 319, and the S&P 500 down 43. Futures are moderately higher. That's your money now.
Hey there, you and aisle two. I see you by the fiber and laxatives. You still using those to manage your constipation with belly pain? If your symptoms keep coming back, you may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. So you may need more than over-the-counter treatments to manage it. Ask your doctor about how Linzess can help you get ahead of it.
Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
The celebration continues at Pete Moore Imports during Volkswagen's 75th anniversary sales event. Drive the Volkswagen Tiguan, a spacious SUV with plenty of savings, like a $2,000 customer cash discount, or lock in 0% APR for 60 full months. And for VW's largest SUVs, the Atlas and Atlas Cross Sport, you can choose 1.9% APR for 60 months or a $3,000 customer cash discount. For 75 years, Volkswagen has delivered a lineup of vehicles much loved by generations. From the VW ID.4 EV, the VW Taos, the ever-popular Jetta sedan, and the GTI and Golf R performance cars. VW continues to deliver excitement today. So come to Pete Moore Imports and celebrate with savings. 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualifying credit through VCI and a standalone offer in lieu of customer cash discounts. Must take retail delivery by April 30th. See dealer for details.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world, but what do they mean? How do you get started? You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising today at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
David reporting in the top and the bottom of the hour news this disposition of this case against this woman from a 2022 crash on Sorrento Road. And I will tell you that when I first saw the story, 20-year-old Pensacola woman, 15 years in state prison, double fatal head-on collision, Sorrento in January of 2022. Sarah Hudson's her name, 20 years old. 15 years in state prison, 15 years of probation after release, 20-year driver's license revocation. For this crash from 2 years ago in Escambia County. She was driving fast. I don't know why they say high rate of speed. There's just, you can say driving fast, okay? Anyway, cops sometimes use this sort of unnecessarily complicated terminology. Besides, high rate is, of course, it's speed. Anyway, she crossed the center line. Horrible story. Crossed the center line, pickup truck coming the other way. Passenger in her car dies. Driver of the other car, the pickup truck, Deborah Lee Winslet of Milton, dies eventually. Christopher Lee Mills was the passenger. Two people die. When I first saw this story, and I thought, my reaction was, it's horrible. Two people are dead. But, man, 15 years in prison for a 20-year-old. That's her life, you know? That was my first reaction is I want to do something, but it seems like 15 years is just a long time to be in prison. There's more to the story because it wasn't just crossing the center line. It was driving 85 in a 55. Now, if you know Sorrento is a fundamentally dangerous place where people drive too fast, maybe a lot. 85 is a lot. In a 55. 85 is a really fast, right? Okay. And, okay, because that's the one thing. Driving 85, we need to teach people a lesson. Don't speed, right? And driving with a suspended license. And a count of drug possession. Although the stories I've been able to find don't make it clear whether there was any testing or whether she was under the influence at the time. Even without inferring that, if you tell me somebody's getting 15 years in state prison because they killed two people crossing the center line on Sorrento Road, I mean, it's a narrow road, even at 55, you know? There's a part of me that wants to say, look, people make mistakes. Now, was she combing her hair? You know, was she doing her makeup? Was she eating food? Was she drinking coffee? Was she fiddling with the knobs on? Was she carrying a cell phone, texting? I mean, I want to know details, okay? And different answers to each of those kinds of questions might produce from me a different response in terms of how much culpability somebody should hold. But when you tell me she's 30 miles over the limit and driving on a suspended license, 15 years doesn't seem unreasonable at all. It seems very appropriate. You already have a suspended license. And, God, one of the most infuriating things is to wind up in a wreck with somebody driving on a suspended license and or who does not have insurance. right? You're not entitled to get behind the wheel of a car. It is a privilege. Contingent upon you passing a test, being physically, mentally, and skillfully capable, paying a certain amount of money, and then in an ongoing practice, obeying the law and caretaking all of the rest of our lives with your behavior. And when you, I mean, I don't mean to force you to think about this, but it is a little terrifying to think about how much you put your life and your family's life and other people's hands on the driving wheel every day, multiple times a day. One of the roads that I travel a lot is Palafox, you know, north of the split at Brent, okay? So two-lane road is 45 miles an hour. Two-lane roads particularly are where you think about this, if you're the kind of person that thinks about this, and I am. But I'm driving on that road. I'm going 45. The car coming at me is going 45. That's 90 miles an hour of closure. That means that if we run into each other, that's like hitting a brick wall at 90. Everybody dies, depending on the particulars of the crash, right? Airbag is not going to be enough most of the time. So, and every day we get behind the wheel and we know that other people, all they've got to do is flinch. It doesn't take much to push you on the wrong side of a double yellow line. All they got to do is get distracted by the kids squabbling in the back seat. All they got to do is want to look at something on the side of the road. Or, oh, did you see that? And you know how your body tends to follow where your head goes? You know? It doesn't take much. And yet every day, and that's presuming that they don't have a death wish, a murder wish, right, all the things, and they're in their right state of mind. They're not tired. They're not drunk. They're not, you know, blind. They haven't had a change of physical status since they got their driver's license. I mean, you know, all the things that can affect people. They're not high. Okay? We don't think about it a lot, but it's a pretty terrifying thing what we do every day and getting behind the wheel of a car. That is an enormous amount of trust that we place in other people on the presumption that basically they want to stay alive too and are able to make that happen. But it does work for the most part. You know, the number one story every day, if we told it, was all the people that don't get into crashes. Right? I mean, that's the most common outcome of driving is no crash. Happens every day, hundreds of millions of times a day. Of course, the crashes are the ones we notice because, right? But like I said, in this case, it got me thinking about how, you know, what I would consider the byproduct of relatively ordinary decisions and the byproduct of two really, really bad decisions, following up on what I only presume is a prior really bad decision. That's why she had a suspended license. And then continuing to drive on it. And driving 30 miles an hour over the limit. On that particular road, which is a very unsafe road to begin with. And by the way, I'll tell you this. You know, one of the things I teach my kids when I teach them how to drive, maybe you do too, is I tell them, look, I know you're going to want to speed, your boys. You're going to want to speed. I just want you to do me this one favor. I want you to think every time you're speeding about your ability to go on with your life without guilt if you manage to kill somebody speeding versus if you manage to kill somebody and you're doing everything right. The law will treat you differently and your conscience will treat you differently. You don't want to be the person who has to live with, well, I was driving 20 miles an hour over and that's why I couldn't stop and that's why I killed a kid or a person or a dog or whatever, you know? And we just don't think through that how will I feel if kind of thinking, but that's what you do in order to avoid making this kind of really bad decision. 648 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Jimmy's got traffic for us.
This traffic report is brought to you by Direct Auto. We are not seeing any accidents or major slowdowns on our roadways this morning, just that typical morning traffic, especially coming into downtown Pensacola, so please use caution. I-10, I-110 are all looking good. If you're on Highway 98, east and westbound through Navarre and Gulf Breeze, that is flowing smoothly, and no delays on Burgess or Olive. If you do see anything, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. Car insurance too pricey? Get around town with affordable coverage. Stop compromising. Keep driving with Direct Auto. Get a free quote at directauto.com. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you're trying to decide whether now is the right time to buy a house or sell a house or to pick up a rental, to pick up a vacation rental, a, you know, investment home, a fixer-upper, whatever you want to do, I don't know the answer. You know, interest rates are always kind of in flux, right? Market conditions are in flux. And by the way, market conditions are not like a thing. You know, the housing prices at 400 grand in Navarre might be doing something different than housing prices at, say, 600 grand in Gulf Breeze or, you know, 800 in, you know, Cantonment. I mean, different houses, different places, different markets, right? So you want to know what's happening in that price range in the place you want to live or the place you're trying to sell and also everything else. And that's why you call Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Reinke Realty, because she knows, they know. They know it cold. They sold 175 homes last year. They know the prices. They know the values. They know exactly what that home is worth, either on the buying side or the selling side. And they can help you make good decisions about whether now or a month from now or 6 months from now is likely to be a better place for you. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Reinke Realty, 723-9158.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers. On the News Radio Garden Line, every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
At any event, gathering, or party, what's the one thing people talk about when it's over? The food! That's why, for over 25 years, locals have chosen Culinary Production as their caterer of choice. Chef Mike DeSorbo and his culinary team have been given rave reviews from very satisfied customers. And now, Culinary Production offers a venue space for your next event. A venue space for 250-plus people with catering, bar service, and more, all in downtown Pensacola. Get all the information you need at culinaryproductions.net.
Join Ballet Pensacola's new artistic director, Stefano Candrivra, Thursday at 10 a.m. with guest dancers from Ballet Pensacola's upcoming performance of The Sleeping Beauty. Tickets are online at balletpensacola.org. From May 3rd through May 5th, shows at the Sanger Theater. Don't miss this classic story of Princess Aurora cursed with 100 years of sleep. The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Gentlemen, affairs of state must take precedent over the affairs of state.
It's not so pretty when it fades away, 'cause it's just an illusion in this passion play. I've seen you burn on before.
Good morning, 6:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, Atlanta won't be the only place in the U.S. with giant pandas as of next year. A pair of the animals will be coming from China to the zoo in San Francisco.
It was a really cool experience, and we are so looking forward to making this a reality for San Francisco.
That is San Francisco Mayor London Breed. Apparently, she traveled to Beijing to see the pandas. It was part of this is part of a panda diplomacy program, which I'd never heard of before. It's run by China. The zoo hoping to renovate an existing facility to speed up the process of getting those animals into the U.S. And the other giant pandas in the U.S. are in the zoo in Atlanta. There's four of them there. Texas Republican Tony Gonzalez says he doesn't believe that Mike Johnson will be removed as Speaker of the House. In an appearance on CNN's State of the Union, Gonzalez says Johnson will survive threats of his removal by Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. And apparently there's a salmonella outbreak, which is prompting Trader Joe's to have to pull all of their fresh basil from the shelves in 29 different states. They say that infinite herbs basil has sickened at least a dozen people.
So if you find yourself in, where is it, Tallahassee, the closest Trader Joe's, I think?
I believe so, yeah.
And you buy basil, or you did, you know, well, now you know.
Maybe you want to check your basil no matter where you're getting it. I don't know.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Yep. 6:54 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, this is very interesting. Have a couple of AI/drone-related stories in the military. One is the headline here from Defense One. An AI took on a human pilot in a DARPA-sponsored dogfight. That's a Defense Agency Research Project, or Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA. They're the ones that make all the cool gadgets, okay? The cool gadgets that typically kill people. Anyway, the self-driving fighter jet powered by AI took on a human pilot in a dogfight for the first time last year in California. Major development in Pentagon's efforts to safely load AI onto its platforms. Who came out on top? They're not saying. And also, what they're saying is that the AI agent, the computer, they have a human in the cockpit. It's an F-16, by the way. Two F-16s dogfighting. Simulated dogfighting. But that the, you know, there's a human in there just in case. They performed well in a variety of scenarios throughout the tests. Lieutenant Colonel Ryan Heffron, program manager for DARPA Air Combat Evolution Program, ACE, said, "We had lots of test objectives that we're trying to achieve in the first round of tests, so asking the question of, I'll say, who won doesn't necessarily capture the nuance of the testing that we accomplished, right? Because some things better, some things worse. How did they perform? You're stress testing them. You're just kind of seeing what it would do. You're not necessarily up there to get, like, a score, you know, point red. But what I will say is that the purpose of the test was really to establish a pathway to demonstrate we can safely test these AI agents in a safety-critical air combat environment." Too many movies for me. No, for real. Interesting part of this, though, is uploading software changes to the platform, like on the tarmac, even airborne. So they're doing like system updates and packaging updates to the, which that's one of the things with the F-35. I know it's not autonomous or whatever, but the F-35 has got its computer system is kind of the problem right now. This is one of the things that they were saying is basically while the plane was flying that they could do an update, you know, like most computers you have to restart, but I guess you don't have to restart the plane to do an update to this particular one. So yeah, this is scary stuff. But what I have said before, and I'll say again, is, you know, our adversaries are doing this. So if we're not doing it, we're probably falling behind. Doesn't make it any less scary. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
We are not seeing any major slowdowns or accidents on our roadways this morning. There is just that morning traffic building up, particularly in downtown Pensacola, so please drive with caution in that area. If you do see anything else on our roadways, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. Starting 8 p.m. tonight going into 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, construction on I-10 and Highway 29 will be causing lane closures, so please expect delays and drive with caution. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. I mentioned there were two stories related to drones in the military. This one, really fascinating. It's also at Defense One, which is a great website if you're into military stuff, or just military news. You have an Army Special Ops soldier named Josh goes to Poland to train Ukrainian soldiers, which is what they do. You don't go to Ukraine. They come to Poland. You meet them there. And they were drone operators, and he was a drone operator, and he was there to teach them how to be better drone operators. Because, you know, you've seen, like, the racing drones, first-person view, where you're, like, zipping along at 70 or 80 miles an hour in a gymnasium through hoops and, you know, uprights and all this kind of stuff. Well, I mean, that's what they're doing on the battlefield, is they're operating these drones, you know, remotely, and then they just happen to have a bomb attached to them or whatever. Anyway, the programmed, so he comes, he goes over there, and they don't think he's going to be all that great, but he outperforms the Ukrainians and teaches them. Now, the program back at home is the Robotics and Unmanned Systems Integration course is taught at the Army's JFK Special Warfare Center and School, which is at Fort Liberty is now what you call it. And they go through a whole, like, 2 weeks of FAA training, a week of flying while being jammed, a week of learning to operate counter-drone systems, building your own drones for a week, and then putting all of that stuff together for a week. So it's a six-week course, crash course in training, you know, members of the Army and special operators in order to not just operate a drone, but operate, repair, work in adverse environments, and really, like, keep them on the cutting edge of drone technology for warfighting. So very interesting, makes perfect sense that we're doing this. And this is another dimension of modern warfare that we're certainly seeing in the Ukrainian battlefield is absolutely essential. 659 News Radio 92.3, a quick future news here with Jimmy. The Supreme Court of the United States, are they going to say that Grants Pass can ban camping with a device, or that they're going to have to limit or reduce their rules?
I think so, too.
I just don't think in the end the Supreme Court's going to say you criminalize overnight homelessness.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.